You'll take your Bible, please, and join me in turning to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Thank you for all the testimonies. And I really do so much appreciate my parents being with us and their patience. I was listening to a message just the other night, and the preacher on there mentioned about Oliver B. Green, and he said that Oliver B. Green, throughout his preaching ministry, told people, he said, "I don't believe that I'll ever see 80 years and 10. And the reason he gave for that is that he said he was just awful toward his parents growing up. And whether or not that was a prophecy, it was fulfilled. He did not live to be 70 years old, and there were times I wasn't always living for the Lord, and really up until my teenage years, it was at the age of 15 when I bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't know what my parents would say, but as I look back on it, I know that there are many times I dishonored them, and I'm thankful that they're here tonight, and my prayer has been that even during the course of this week that the Lord would just help me to honor them for their patience and their love and their goodness to me. When I went to Bible college, my family back home, we didn't grow up with excess amount of wealth or anything like that. And my dad and mom both worked very, very diligently to help with school bills and things like this. And anyhow, I just so much appreciate them. I hope and pray that during the course of this week they'll feel honored. But I would not be standing here tonight without my dad and mom, and I'm thankful for them. And I love them very much. We're in Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to try to be brief tonight. I know we've been here a little while. Just ask that you bear with me. Hebrews chapter 13, I'd like for us to look at verses 15 and 16. It says there, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so very much for allowing us to meet in this place tonight. Thank you for all the testimonies that have been given to your honor and to your glory. We trust that you've been pleased by what you've heard tonight in testimony as well as in our singing. Lord, I pray that you would use your word tonight to help us to better honor you and to be better at giving you thanks and to be more faithful in praising your name at all times. Please bless our time in your word. Please help us by the quickening ministry of your spirit. I pray you'd give each and every one of us something tonight from your word that we can take with us that would be a real help to us in our walk with you, how we interact with others, and most importantly, how we respond in our relationship with you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. From the book's title, the book of Hebrews, it's understood that this book was written to Jewish or Hebrew believers, okay? The major theme for the book of Hebrews is to show how Jesus Christ is better, to show how he is better than Moses, how he is better than the angels. It shows how the New Testament or the New Covenant is better than the law or the Old Covenant. Many of the Jewish believers to whom this letter was written were, in effect, they were kind of hung up on their Old Testament Judaism and Old Testament practices as, again, Jews or Hebrews. And so one of the goals of the writer of the book of Hebrews was to help these Jewish believers move on to what was better, to transition from living as Old Testament believers to living as New Testament believers in Jesus Christ. And one very critical part in this move forward was understanding how the offering of sacrifices has changed from the Old Testament economy to the New Testament. Okay, under the Old Testament, we know this. You're educated. We know that under the Old Testament, God's people offered sacrifices for sins as well as for thanksgiving. And the book of Hebrews shows us how this area of sacrifices changed. First of all, when the Lord Jesus Christ offered Himself as the once-for-all final sacrifice for sins. And it's stated many times throughout the book, but one place is chapter 10 and verse 14. It says, "For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." That's the finished work of Jesus Christ. He offered the final sacrifice for sins. Elsewhere in the book of Hebrews, it says that when He offered that sacrifice, He sat down. That's something that the Old Testament priest never did. There was no chair inside the holiest place because their work was never finished. But when Jesus offered that final sacrifice for sin, He sat down at the Father's right hand. And so in going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, one of the things that has changed in the matter of sacrifices is that we don't offer sacrifices for sins. We do not come to a certain temple or place and offer an animal sacrifices. That work has been completed. And yet these believers then might have asked the question, okay, if there's no longer a need for sacrifice for sins, we understand that under the New Covenant, the New Testament, every believer has been made a priest to God. And a priest, it's understood that one of his primary duties is to offer sacrifices. So if we're all priests and there's no offering of sacrifices for sin, what does remain? Well, our text answers that tonight. It explains to us that one of the sacrifices that remains, one of them that carries over from the Old to the New Testament, is the sacrifice of praise or thanksgiving to God. This is not new. It is something that continues. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 2, the Lord told His people, "Take with you words and turn unto the Lord, say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips." So He's saying, come to Me with your words. And as I take away your sins, I want you to offer in sacrifice of thanksgiving the calves, not of the stall, but the calves, the sacrifices, the words of praise from your lips. Psalm 50, verse 14, "Offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay thy vows unto the Most High." Psalm 69, 30 and 31, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord." Here's the word, better. That's a key word in the book of Hebrews. You find it throughout. "This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs." So the psalmist was really ahead of his time. He understood that the sacrifice of thanksgiving, praising God with our lips, actually pleases Him more than an animal sacrifice. So tonight for our message, we're going to briefly consider this thought together, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. We're going to note from our text four truths about our giving thanks to God as a form of New Testament sacrifice that certainly applies to this holiday of thanksgiving. So let's note regarding this thanksgiving sacrifice, first of all, that it is an acceptable sacrifice. Verse 15 begins with these words, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God." The words "by Him" refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look back at verse 10, the writer of Hebrews there says, "We have an altar." I believe that that altar actually refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. That He's not only our sin sacrifice, but He is the altar by which we offer sacrifices to God. And when we come to God and offer Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving, it is acceptable to Him because it is offered through His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:5, "Ye also are an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So Jesus is the altar that sanctifies the gift of thanksgiving. And this sacrifice of thanksgiving that we offer is acceptable to God because of Christ. This, of course, means that until a person receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they can offer nothing acceptable to the Lord. The Lord said the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. He said all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And it's unfortunate, but there will be many people throughout our nation during the course of this week that will give thanks, but they don't know Jesus. They've never repented of their sins. They've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, and God does not accept it. He will not, He cannot accept anything that we offer Him outside of His Son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 6 and 7 says, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In whom? So this Beloved is the Beloved One. And it's in Him that we have redemption through His blood. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Trust that tonight you know the Lord Jesus Christ. This sacrifice is acceptable only by Him. And as believers, as those who have believed on the Lord, we can be encouraged then to know that God accepts our sacrifice of praise because of Jesus. That's encouraging because God accepts our sacrifices of thanksgiving, even though our words may fall short in communicating our thoughts and feelings. Did anybody feel that way tonight in giving testimony? I sure did. I thought, Lord, I blew it. I'm sorry. So many things I should have said. Yeah. But you know what? It's acceptable to the Lord by Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ. It also means this, that even if our voices fall short of the angelic praise which continually surrounds God's throne, God accepts it. He's pleased with it. See, God likes our thanksgiving because it comes to Him through His perfect Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 95, verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. We're thankful for those psalms that refer to a joyful noise that authorizes us. We have scriptural authorization to be able to sing even if we can't hold a tune in a bucket, as they say. Because our sacrifice of thanksgiving is acceptable through Jesus Christ. That's a blessing. So it's an acceptable sacrifice. Thanksgiving pleases God because we offer it to Him in the name of His Son and through His Son, Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's a continual sacrifice. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What's the next word? Continually. Continually. Thanksgiving is the one holiday which every believer may rightly observe all year long. This is not tacky like leaving up your Christmas lights all year long, okay? Now, we have done this at the church. We have learned through the years that rather than, you know, taking down Christmas trees and lights, you just, you know, throw a trash bag over and put someone keep the dust off of it. Say, no. But Thanksgiving is something that we ought to be giving continually to the Lord. It's to be a continual sacrifice. This is a sacrifice which every New Testament believer priest should be continually offering to God. This means that we're to be giving God this sacrifice of thanksgiving even when circumstances change. Even when the waves roll high and the valleys are deep and dark. We're to be giving thanks even when we don't feel like it. If you look back at verse 8 of this chapter, the writer of Hebrews tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is good. God was good yesterday. He's good today. He's going to be good tomorrow and forever. And God is always worthy of our praise, so we should always be giving Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 9 is interesting. It says this in the text, to the chief musician upon Mithlaban. That word mithlaban means death. So this psalm was written upon the occasion or in the face of death. Some believe that it was perhaps on the occasion of one of the deaths of David's sons. But here's what he said. A psalm of David. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. David praised God even in the face of death, and he helped us to understand that offering the sacrifice of praise is a matter of the will, and is to be offered continually. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Literally, be ye continually being filled. Not just when you stand behind a pulpit or stand behind a microphone, but always be being filled with the Spirit. It says, as you do this, this will be the evidence. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is spiritual fruit in the life of a believer who is continually filled with the Spirit. It's continual. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Regardless of what we are doing, in everything, in the middle of all things, it's God's will for us to be giving thanks. One songwriter put it this way, "Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised. Whether I'm working or praying, I'm giving Him praise." Also, in everything, give thanks reminds us that regardless of what is happening in our lives, instead of complaining, we're to give thanks. A Christian singer had been diagnosed with cancer of the tongue. Just before the surgery, which would remove the cancer and his ability to sing, he asked the doctor, "Sir, are you certain that I will never sing again after this surgery?" The doctor nodded. The patient then asked if he could sit up for a moment. "I've had many good times singing the praise of God," he confessed. "And now you tell me I can never sing again. I have one song that will be my last. It will be a song of gratitude and praise to God." And there, before entering the operating room, this man sang the words of Isaac Watts' hymn, quote, "I'll praise my Maker while I've breath, and when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler powers, my day of praise shall never be past, while life and thought and being last, or immortality endures." What about us? Do we offer this sacrifice to God continually, or are we like, you know, the fellow whose daughter asked him, "Dad, which does he believe? Does he believe the complaining or the thanksgiving?" This is to be given continually. We also need to note this, that in verse 15, he says, "There by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." The words "let us," introducing this clause concerning our offering thanks to God continually, are actually in the form of a command. This is a loving command, okay, for these aspiring Greek scholars up here. It's called a hortatory subjunctive. Okay. Say what? Just forget about it. A hortatory subjunctive, okay? And when you read in our New Testament, most of the time it's written this way, "let us." Let us. It's a command, but it's not saying, "Hey, you do this." It's a loving command. It's the idea of someone coming alongside and saying, "Hey, guys, come on, let's do this. Let's go. Let's do this." It's a command, but it's a loving one where the one giving the command says, "Hey, I want you to join me in doing this." Not like, "I'll tell you what to do, but I won't do it." He said, "I'm already doing it, so come on, let's do this. Let us." You find this hortatory subjunctive, this loving command, this unique form, more in the book of Hebrews than any other place in the New Testament. For that reason, some people believe, and the more I think about it and look into it, the more I agree with the idea that perhaps it was Barnabas that was used to write the book of Hebrews. For one reason, we know that Barnabas was a Levite, so he certainly had good understanding of Hebrew customs and laws, especially pertaining to the priesthood. But we also know that Barnabas was an encourager. He was nicknamed the son of encouragement, the son of consolation. He's the kind of guy that, we don't know this for certain, but he's probably the kind of guy that came alongside and said, "Hey guys, come on. Come on, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's go." He was an encourager, and he gave a command, but he gave it in a loving way. And now in this text, he's encouraging believers to come alongside to join him in walking in the light as a matter of obedience. Let me just quickly review some of the earlier commands that are given this way in this book. I'll not give you the reference. Well, I can do that. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. Verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let's hold on to our profession. Let's hold fast our profession. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on into perfection. Let us draw near with a true heart and true assurance of faith. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he that's faithful that promised. Let's consider one another to love, to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us in. And let us run the race with patience that's set before us. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. All those commands, he comes alongside and says, let's do this. And every one of those other areas of obedience is no more important, no more significant a command than what we read here. Let us fear coming short of believing God and failing to enter into that rest because of unbelief. Let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and fear. We read all these other commands. We say, absolutely. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We say, all those are commands that we need to be intent on keeping. This is a command, and the command is this. Let us be offering the sacrifice of praise to God continually. This is a command. Just as we are called to join with other believers, perhaps Barnabas, in obeying the Lord in these many other areas of the Christian life, so we must join in obeying by giving God thanks. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but the sacrifice of thanksgiving is a matter of obedience. Joni Erickson Tada, I appreciate her testimony from time to time. We hear that on BBN station. Never hear that lady down the mouth. I never hear her complain. She became a quadriplegic through a diving accident as a young lady. And yet she has such a sweet spirit and testimony for the Lord. And Joni Erickson Tada said this, quote, giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It is a matter of obedience. It's a matter of obedience. We are commanded to be giving this sacrifice continually. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Thirdly, it's a testimonial sacrifice. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. It's significant that this is the only place in Scripture where the word for give thanks is translated this way. Okay, in our text, the words giving thanks are translated from the Greek word, and I'm not trying to get too deep tonight, but just to make a point, it's translated from the Greek word homologeo. Homologeo. It's a compound word, homo meaning the same, like you homogenize milk, you put it together through a process, make it one. And legeo means to say. It literally means to say the same, to say the same thing. This word, again, this is the only place in Scripture where it's translated giving thanks. Elsewhere, 17 of the 24 times it's used in the New Testament, it's translated confess. Confess, which is to agree with or to say the same thing. This helps us to understand the nature of the true thanksgiving sacrifice. How do we do this? He said, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. What's that? How you do that? That is the fruit of our lips saying the same thing to or concerning His name or His character, which is represented by His name. In other words, with our lips we are confessing, we are saying who God is and what He's like and what He's done. That's a testimony of thanksgiving. God is good. That's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We're confessing who He is and what He's like. We're saying the same thing the Bible says about Him. This, by the way, helps us to understand why it's important for us to know the Word of God. Because it's through the Bible, primarily, that we learn who God is, what God is like, and what God has done. And the more we know those things, the better able we are to offer sacrifice to Him. You get into this book and study the Scriptures, you find out that God is good, God is merciful, God is faithful. And as you learn who God is, you can take your mouth and offer it back as a sacrifice, confess it to His name. God, You're eternal. You never change, Lord. You're faithful, even though we're not faithful. God, You're faithful. God, You're good, even though we're not good. God, You're holy, even though we're many times impure or unclean. God, You are this. We call this a testimonial sacrifice because really our giving thanksgiving is a confession. It's a giving testimony concerning God, His name. Not just His name proper like Jesus or Jehovah, but the name represents who He is, His character. And as we do this, it also creates a testimony or a witness, a confession for the Lord in the midst of believers and before the unbelieving world. Our thanksgiving sacrifice becomes a testimony for the Lord in the hearts of those who hear us. And as Christians, we need to be careful that we are not ashamed to confess or praise the Lord before others. Psalm 22:22. I will declare Thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise Thee. It's a chiastic parallelism in that psalm where the first half of that psalm, those words in that psalm are renamed or restated in other words in the second half. It's saying the same thing in different words. I will declare Thy name unto my brethren. Well, what does that mean? In the midst of the congregation will I praise Thee. Corrie ten Boom was in a concentration camp in Germany with her sister during World War II. Years after the war, as she reflected on God's goodness, she wrote, quote, "Often I hear people say, how good God is. We prayed that it would not rain for our church picnic, and look at the lovely weather. Yes, God is good when He sends good weather. But God was also good when He allowed my sister Betsy to starve to death before my eyes in a German concentration camp. I remember one occasion when I was very discouraged. Everything around us was dark and there was darkness in my heart. I remember telling Betsy that I thought God had forgotten us. No, Corrie, said Betsy, He has not forgotten us. Remember His word. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." Folks, we need to remember and confess and praise that God is good all the time. It's part of His character. We confess that. Romans 15:9, that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it's written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." It's a testimony. When we praise the Lord and confess God's character, it becomes a testimony that it glorifies God and encourages other believers. It's a testimony to the lost. And those who are ashamed to confess the Lord before others are not really showing faith in Him. Jesus said, "He that confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." We ought not be ashamed to publicly confess and praise and offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. I heard the story about a country farmer. He had gone into town to eat breakfast at a diner one morning. There were some teenage punks there, and they saw the old man take his hat off and bow his head and pray and give thanks for his food. And they began to mock him. They said, "Hey, Pops, does everybody pray and give thanks for their food back where you come from? Back in the hills." He was just silent for a moment. And he said, "No, come to think of it, the hogs don't." And we ought to be better than that. We ought to not be ashamed to give thanks to the Lord, no matter who's watching. Finally, it's an additional sacrifice. Verse 16. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." It's understood by the added encouragement in verse 16 that the sacrifice of thanksgiving with our mouths is not to be separated from or substituted for sacrificing by doing good and giving. Fact is, the sincerity of our thanks is heard not only in our words, but seen in our actions by giving living, whereby we serve God and bless others. We're to be chorusing all these things together. It's not like, "Okay, God, I'll praise you with my mouth. This is how I offer sacrifice to you." No, God wants us to be giving thanks. It doesn't stop there. And as we give thanks to God, it ought to stem from a heart that's just accustomed to giving sacrifices to God in the form of service and blessing others. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." God has been so good and merciful to us that it's only reasonable that we should give our bodies to serve Him. And anything less is unreasonable. And our lives should be a living thank you to God. The thanksgiving of our lips is just added to the thanksgiving of our lives. We live our lives as an offering of thanksgiving to God because He's been so good and merciful. Colossians 3:17, "Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." That's all one sentence. And the fact is, we are to be offering the sacrifice of praise as we are offering the sacrifice of service in whatever we're doing in word or deed. It works together. It's an added sacrifice. So during this week of Thanksgiving, let's be especially ready to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Let's not be ashamed to confess Him in the midst of our brethren. And let's make it a regular habit to confess His goodness and to serve Him faithfully for all His mercies to us. Lord, thank You for allowing us to spend this time in Your Word tonight. Lord, we thank You that You are good all the time. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy, and that when we complain and it displeases the Lord, that You're willing to forgive us as we confess our sins. Pray that during this week of Thanksgiving, Lord, as You just fill our cups with blessing and goodness in so many ways, as we reflect on that, Lord, that we would be inclined, Lord, to give You thanks with our words. But beyond that, Lord, to live our lives as a sacrifice of thanksgiving, just reasonable service, Lord, worshiping You in all that we say and do. I pray You bless us, as many will be with family during the course of this week. I pray that, Lord, we would honor You in all that we say and do and think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.